This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You are listening to The Pulse 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. And Mike is back today. He's in the house.
Yeah, me and Molly.
Yes, Molly's here too. I figured I'd take, Molly's been with me. I take her every once in a while to the office because you know what it is? She barks too much.
Yeah.
And when I'm having like lots of meetings or, when I know people are coming to the office, I definitely won't take her. It's just because she's friendly. She's getting to know the people. But the more she's getting to know the people, the more she barks because she sees them.
And does she want attention? Is that part of the barking thing?
Well, you know what? Actually, the more attention they pay to her, the more she barks.
Okay.
But I can also tell her bark when, like, because I sit and I don't face the elevator, but she sees the elevator. And when she knows people, it's a different bark.
Oh,
like, it's
okay.
Pretty funny.
Well, she's
she knows that one.
5.5-pound Morkie, which is a combination of a Maltese and a Yorkie.
Yes.
And I think she looks to me like she's probably hypoallergenic.
Yes, she is.
Right?
She has real fur.
Doesn't shed, which is great.
Nope, doesn't shed.
But she's so tiny.
She is.
It's like 5.5 pounds, you were telling me?
Yeah, she's 5.5 pounds.
And my dog doesn't look a whole lot different than yours, but mine's about 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's good. We love her. She's awesome.
Well, she's being really good. What's this barking you've been telling me about?
What's the what?
What's all this barking you've been telling me about? I'm not hearing any of it.
What, because I'm holding her.
Oh, is that
and
why?
And she's here with me. That's why I figured I'd give the people upstairs a little break.
Oh. So if you put her down, she would probably...
If I put her down right
yipping.
Now, she probably... I don't know. Well, you know what? She'd run over there and she'd start looking at people and she probably would start barking. So.
Right. I don't know if Uncle Rex has any treats in his pockets.
Uncle Rex. That's so funny. We do that with our friends, too.
Yeah.
Auntie Michelle's here. Grandpa's here.
So anyway, after our conversation with Randy Clemens, was that who we were talking about with food for dogs or no? Who was? Oh, it was John. It was
Rocco.
It was Rocco. Yes,
Rocco.
I reached out to a maker of dog treats and foods and stuff. So I'm waiting to hear back. I don't want to say who it is in case they don't want to call back. But
you know, that's funny because my dad's cousin's daughter. So my third or fourth cousin, whatever. She does that. She makes dog food.
Does she do it as a business? Or?
Yes, she does. And you know?
What town?
Bedford.
Well, that's who I reached out to.
What is her name? It's a girl's name, right?
Yes, yes.
Paige?
I don't know if it was Paige or not. I'd have to, check.
Unless she's the one that's married. I'm not sure. It's either like Denise or Diane.
Let me see if I have it in my phone here.
Oh, that's interesting.
But that may be who I reached out to earlier today.
Oh, my goodness. What a coincidence that would be.
Yeah, I don't have it in here, unfortunately.
Ooh. Here's this, because I was doing that yesterday.
So you had Miss America Outstanding Teen in yesterday, Allie Nault and your son Tyler.
We did, and they both did a fabulous job.
Oh, good.
It was very fun. We had a packed show. It was it was a good time. It was fun.
In town, Manchester was in because tonight
Manchester.
Is the big taste of downtown, right?
It is the big taste tonight. You can still get tickets, although if you didn't get them before yesterday, today they're $20. But you know, like Sarah was telling us yesterday, they reduced the prices from last year.
Oh, they did.
They did.
Why?
They wanted to get a little bit more people in, and they thought if maybe they lowered the price a little bit, they'd like to get families down. And you know, sometimes it can be a little bit expensive.
Yes.
And so they lowered it. So today it's $20, whereas normally last year it would have been $25 today.
Oh.
So you know, that's pretty good.
It's a great event, and
it's going to be gorgeous too.
The weather will be perfect. It's like the Taco Tour back in May, which was outstanding. But the key to this kind of event is pacing yourself.
Oh gosh!
You know, we try to tell that to J Dog, and I'm not sure if he's on the
he
controls
is on today.
Feed me more.
Yeah, sure, Mr. 9 out of 30 or whatever.
Funny.
Only because I had to wait in line for the bunch of them. That's all.
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? They would have given me all of them. I would have ate them all at once.
I hear you, J-Dog. And you know what? Maybe we can get you like special, you know, front of the line next year just to see if you can attempt that.
Yeah, because I'm not waiting in Ben and Jerry's two blocks full for 2.5 hours and then to tell me, oh, sorry, next year. Yep.
I'll talk to Jody and see what I can do. So remind me ahead of time.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll get you like a big VIP pass or something.
Okay,
and,
there you go.
You know, we'll have like
the Do You Know Who I Am pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Ted Kennedy. That's funny. Well, that'll be your final taco tour before moving back to Cleveland, right? If everything is still on target.
Not moving back, because I'm not from there, but I know what you mean.
Moving to Cleveland.
Moving to Cleveland,
yeah.
Exactly. Come on, Mike.
Whereas I'll have a taco tour every night there.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably have all kinds of great food events. It's such an ethnic city.
Yeah.
A lot of Eastern European folks there, and I'm sure a lot of New World people are there to make
it. Seafood crowd is definitely popular in Cleveland, because Cleveland's a port city. So
it is. If you like fried perch, baby, you're going to the right place. on the banks of Lake Erie, close to where I grew up.
Yep.
But Michael Simon, one of the best-known chefs on Food Network.
Oh, I like him.
We talked to him actually a few
months ago. He's on the Chew still, right?
He is still on the Chew.
Yeah, he's got a restaurant in Cleveland.
He's got about five restaurants now in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of them in Detroit, another city that's kind of trying to reinvent itself. Don't know how well that's going to work out, but he's at least contributing. So no shortage of really great dining in Cleveland, that's for sure. I've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Have you?
Never been to Cleveland, so.
Oh, wait a minute. You're moving to a city that you've never been to?
Nope. Only the wind, just where the wind takes me. I've wanted to live there since 2000, and why not? I'll just go where the wind takes me and go from there. So.
I love that.
Good for you, J-Dog.
Love that adventurous spirit.
And then
we'll
2 weeks later, I'll be like, Mommy, call me, help me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead, Carol. You were saying?
No. I was going to say, and then you'll have to call in from these different restaurants, and, you know, that would be fun.
Well, that'd be great, because I'll tell you the destinations and everything like that. Since I'm going to be living near a lot of those, I mean, just kind of on the outskirts, not directly in the city, not yet. Mm-hmm. As the years go on, I'll probably be living in downtown Cleveland, but I'm going to be near everything, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Science Museum in Cleveland, Progressive Field, First Energy Stadium where the Browns play, the Quicken Loans Arena where the Cavaliers play. So I'll be near all the sports venues. I'll be near all the restaurants. So, yeah, I'll definitely give you a rundown of how it works in the city that rocks.
Well, you know, I admire that, but why would you pick a three-sport city?
You know what? I'm going to try to campaign for them to get the Barons back. They
the Cleveland Barons.
That's right. They were only around for 2 years, and you'll love this, Mike. The Cleveland, the Columbus Blue Jackets, their affiliate now is the Lake Erie Monsters, which is the AHL affiliate. It used to be the AHL affiliate of the Colorado Avalanche. So at one point, and if they stayed around, this would have been great. Come to Quicken Loans Arena, where the current Cavs and the future Avs play. Because they were the Colorado Avalanche affiliate recently. That would have been great. But now they're a Columbus Blue Jackets affiliate. And there is a campaign on Twitter for the Blue Jackets to move to Cleveland. So.
Right. I am so confused, J-Dog.
Confused anyway. You won't be after this commercial break.
Right. So anyway, there's our J-Dog producing the show back at the studios in Bow. Always good to have J-Dog running a flawless, as they say, control board.
At the helm.
At
definitely.
The helm, that's for sure.
We always know we're going to be in good hands. Mm-hmm. And we have a packed show today. Coming up shortly, we're going to be talking with Jane Lang, the president of New Hampshire Farmers Markets, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
The president of New Hampshire Farmers Market Association, and she is also the volunteer market organizer at the Salem Farmers Market. There aren't many people that are as excited about farmers markets as she is. I mean, she wears her love of them on her sleeve and makes sure that you are infected with her enthusiasm.
And if you do go to the Salem Farmers Market, I hear that if you see the lady walking around in the fancy hats, that's Jane Lang.
That's her. And I'm sure anybody that ever goes there knows who she is. And a lot of people know her. She's very active in so many civic types of causes. I think a lot of people, if they saw her, they'd say, oh, I've seen her. Yeah, very. Right. She's out there for sure.
And then, of course, after Jane Lang at the top of the hour, we'll be joined with one of our favorite segments, Donna's Delights in Delaware.
In Delaware.
Gosh,
that's right.
I just went. I almost said Kansas again.
We go to Kansas tomorrow.
Yeah, Kansas is tomorrow. Oh my goodness. But Donna's Delights, and then after that, we'll be joined with Chef Patrick, of course. So. Always love him, too.
And today's our theme, just to tell you, Friday for the comedy cold cuts.
Oh, yeah.
Supermarkets.
Oh.
Lots of comedy to be mined from the shelves and aisles of supermarkets, including Jerry Seinfeld, who we don't hear that often from on comedy cold cuts. He does a really solid 6-minute set on supermarkets.
Oh, cool.
Really good stuff, yeah.
How about Jim Gaffigan?
Of course. And I have good news for you.
Who?
Jim Gaffigan is coming to Boston.
No, really?
End of October. He's doing about six or seven shows. I mean, that shows you how popular he is.
That's cool. And I'm going to have to go down
Wilbur Theater. So just go to his website. It's the last week in October, and that's where he will be. So if you love the comedy of Jim Gaffigan, who we feature almost every week on Cold Cuts.
I love him.
Yeah. Here's your chance to see him.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Today's food holiday, before we take our break, is national. This is my favorite thing ever. I think you like this, too. Guacamole.
I do.
Guacamole Day.
I do.
Love it, love it.
It's I won't put it as my favorite, but I do like it a lot. It's very versatile.
You know, Daryl and I will, you know, when we go, of course, to different Mexican restaurants, we're always trying out their guacamole. And, yeah, by far, so far, I mean, locally, when we went to Puerto Vallarta, never had the best guacamole ever.
They have tableside guacamole preparation.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. We ate at breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Literally?
It was like crazy. That and their salsa was like to die for. But around here, Puerto Vallarta puts on a really good guacamole, and we always ask for it hot, so they chop up some jalapenos in it.
Nice.
And they make it hotter for us. It's also National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day.
I like raisin bread.
I do not like raisins.
Oh, that's right.
So it's not my thing.
Okay.
It's not my thing. It's also National Play-Doh Day.
Do you like Play-Doh?
I used to like Play-Doh.
Raisins? Yeah, you can make your own out of stuff at home for your kids, non-toxic.
I think I remember that.
I've never done that, but.
Per person, avocado consumption in the U.S. Was 4.5 pounds in this dates back a little bit. They need to update this food reference. In 2011, and in 1989, before that, obviously, it was only 1.1. So I'd be anxious to see what it is currently.
So the latest you have is
4.5 pounds. 4.5.
Well, I'm not really adding much to that average. I'm bringing the average down because I just, either I don't think of it or I don't order it, so I bet I don't have 6 ounces of it a year.
Oh, gosh, yeah, no.
So Darryl, you make up for it on
my
end.
Up for urine. Big time. And the problem, you know, I don't make it at home because, like we've shared this before, I can never find ripe avocados.
Oh.
It's very difficult unless, like you had pointed out to me a few weeks back, in season might be better. And I'm telling you, I test them every time I go, and lately they haven't been good.
I know. I noticed the same thing, Carol. I tested them a week or two ago. And even though there was a ton of them and they looked like they were ripe, they weren't.
They weren't. I know. No. I do it all the time. I feel the avocados all the time.
Yeah. So you're the one putting those thumbprints in all of them.
And just some little nutritional information on them. Avocados are 22% fat, with the average medium-sized avocado containing 300 calories.
Oh, okay.
300 calories and 30 grams of fat. But it's all good fat. That's what they say. It's good fat.
I guess.
That's what they say.
Well, that's what they say.
I mean, believe them.
I mean, there's like good fat in dark chocolate, okay? That's it's the same idea.
Now see, that, that's right. I knew I printed this off for a reason. Listen to this. You like avocado. You just
Oh, I do. I do.
Lot.
Yeah,
okay,
I just
so
don't
you
think
would
about
love
it.
This.
Okay.
Habanero avocado soup.
Oh, ooh.
Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound
and
really
And you know
good.
What? There's only very few ingredients to it. 2 large ripe avocados, 1 habanero chili, 4 cups of chicken stock, 1 cup of heavy cream, salt and pepper, cilantro, and tortillas.
Oh.
That is it. I'm going to take a picture of that, and it'll be on Food for Thought with Carol and Mike's Facebook page.
Wow. That
sounds really good.
If you made it thicker,
simple.
It would be a really great dip. But, I mean, if it's soup, then that's even better.
Yeah.
Wow.
And instead of I wouldn't use the heavy cream. I would probably use the half and half fat-free is what I would use.
I've never cooked with fat-free. I usually use whole milk or occasionally cream. How do things turn out with
what
the fat-free?
I just did a recipe this week, and I used fat-free half and half. Oh, my gosh. I can't even remember. Isn't that awful? Just a few days ago. And I remember I got... Oh, it was my, I made Hillary Davis's, that's right, we didn't talk about that on Monday, I don't know why we didn't. I made Hillary Davis's mushroom custard cups.
Oh.
And it called for half and half, but I used it fat-free.
And it turned out good?
It was delicious.
Huh, well that's good to know.
It was very good. I use that a lot when it calls for regular half and half, but anyway.
Cool.
So that's that.
All right.
I think we're ready to go on a break. I'm going to go bring Molly back upstairs. She's going to torment everybody. But look at how sweet she is here. I was taking some selfies while Mike was talking earlier. Me and Molly.
See, I would hold her, but I mean, I know we gotta move
on. Well,
I guess
can hold her if you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
No biggie.
She's adorable.
She is. Oh, look at
that. Look at that face. All right.
You're listening to people who are like, what are they doing? You're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building. We're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
This is Food for Thought, brought to you by Mama McDonough's Irish Pub on Depot Street in Hillsboro. Come find your Irish side there on Facebook. Also, Ipswich Clam Bake, 791 2nd Street, Manchester. ipswichclambake.com. Fresh, local seafood and catering available as well.
All right. Let me see. Well, we're waiting for Jane.
She is on the line.
Oh, okay.
She is ready to go.
Great. Go ahead.
All right. It gives me great pleasure to bring back a friend. Actually, I saw her at a fundraiser a week ago, and it made me think, oh, we got to have Jane on because farmers markets are really, I think, peaking right about now with the greatest variety of produce and artisan-made goods. Jane Lang from the Salem Farmers Market is the volunteer market organizer and, beyond that, president of New Hampshire Farmers Market Association. So I don't think there's anybody that loves farmers markets more than you, Jane Lang. Would I be right about that?
You are certainly correct, and I want to thank you both for having me back. This is such a great honor. And yes, I do have such a passion for making sure that all of our farmers and producers do well here in New Hampshire.
I wanted to get this out here before we go too far so people can think about attending. Even though it's 5 weeks away, it's farm-to-table dinner at the Atkinson Country Club on Monday, October 26th, and it's probably good. This is your third, right? So you're going to have a good crowd, Jane.
Yeah, we're actually growing this year. We started out our first 2 years at limiting it to 60 people, and we've had such great response that we're now going to increase it to 100 people. And Ooh. Atkinson Country Club has been awesome. Their chefs, they create, we give them all the ingredients that we have at the market, all the meats, all the vegetables, everything that's going to be available to them. The only thing that we probably use from them is their salt and pepper. But everything else comes all local from our farms here in New Hampshire. And the chefs create an amazing menu. It's a 5-course meal, and 2 of the courses will be served with wine. And we have live entertainment. And we may even have some specialty guests. I'm hoping that, Mike, I'm giving this invitation to you. I'm hoping that you will join us.
Nice.
Well, I was just thinking about that today. I was looking at my calendar, and I do believe I am available that night. It is Monday the 26th, and I've actually never been to one of these farm-to-table dinners that I've heard so much about.
Well, actually, I'd like to invite you both, Carol and Mike, if Carol, if you're available, because I know you have such a passion for food as well, and I would love to have you
join us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
For our community dinner. It's going to be amazing. So everybody, we have these long tables. I always envision this Martha Stewart, you know, out on her farm and these long tables all, you know, decorated up and all this great food coming out. And it's a fun night. And it's our biggest fundraiser of the year as well, too.
I need to ask you what the cost of a ticket is because I don't see that on the website that we're going to send people to.
Yeah, actually, the cost of the ticket, they're $85 for each person. But like I said, and we are a 501(c), so it is tax deductible. It's for a 4-course meal, like I said, live entertainment, and just a great evening of fun. We have silent auctions, and we're going to have some special surprises there as well.
Do you know at all what any of the courses are, or is it too early to say what you might be hoping to serve?
Well, actually, I'm going to have the menu today at some point, and we will be posting that up on our website. So if they go to our website is SalemNHFarmersMarket.org. It'll be up on there, or you can go to our Facebook page, which you just go onto Facebook and look up Salem NH Farmers Market, and you'll be able to find the information there.
And maybe as it gets a little closer, a couple weeks out, we can have you, you know, back on and kind of give some, you know, give us more details of the dinner and try to push it a little bit more for you as well.
Oh, that would be amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And as you were saying earlier, yes, the farmers markets, we are at the peak of our season right now. And the produce, the fruit, and the vegetables are just amazing what's coming out from there. Especially the fruits. I don't know if you've ever had these donut peaches. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Well,
tell me.
if you come to our farmers market, you'll see them there. They're not your regular peaches, but they are amazing and sweet and just delicious. There's plums. There's the greens, the vegetables that are coming up right now, as well as we have a great assortment of meats. And I go back to the fact that I think people like knowing where their food is coming from nowadays.
They definitely do. That's something that has totally changed. And, you know, they are. People want to know where their food's coming from, and especially local. I mean, it's a win-win.
Right. I mean, what better place to come to a local farmer's market? And there are so many great farmers markets all over New Hampshire. And if you go to the New Hampshire Farmers Market Association, we actually have a link there that gives you a list of all the farmers markets in New Hampshire. And actually go and meet the farmer who grew the vegetables, who raised the beef, you know, the cattle, so that your beef, where your beef comes from, what they put in it, whether they sprayed it, whether they didn't use anything, whether it's organic, you know. It's just amazing.
Jane, you made the move from another location to Broadway on a much busier, potentially busier location back earlier this spring. How has it gone now with your first summer season almost fully under your belt?
Yeah, it's been amazing. We were at Lake Street Garden Center for almost 3 years. I want to say, you know, we're into our fifth year right now, which I'm so proud of. I mean, I, you know, organized this back in 2010 and ran it myself for 3 years, and now I have an amazing board that helps me, and we are just getting bigger and bigger. But we just outgrew the parking. There was just not enough parking. We started bringing in between 500 and 600 people a week at the farmers market, and the parking just wasn't there. So we did find a location on 28, which is like if you knew the old Granite State Potato Chip Company, it's right across from there in that plaza. It's called Salem Marketplace, and it's been really a great market for us. Our vendors are doing really well there, and we're also a year-round farmers market now. We just started this last year, so we never close. We stay open every Sunday, and I'm very excited to say that Salem School District and our school board approved us to start our winter market on November 1st at the 5th school right on Main Street.
Well, congratulations, because that's huge. And I was looking at the list of farmers markets, of which there are plenty in the summer, but I was pleasantly surprised to see that there are so many in the winter around New Hampshire as well. Didn't expect to see that many on the website.
Yeah, and there are more that are growing as well. You know, there's more towns. And that's another thing, is as being president of the Farmers Market Association here in New Hampshire, I really love when people reach out to me and ask me, how do you start a market or what can I do? And actually here right in Pelham, New Hampshire, their Pelham Community Spirit Group wanted to start a farmers market. And I helped them, and we worked it, and now they have a market there every Wednesday right on their town green. So, you know, it's important to know that, you know, the Farmers Market Association is here to help, you know, the communities bring local products to their community.
Have you been, well, I don't know how much chance you really can get around the state, but one of my favorite, you know, different farmers markets is in Hancock, where it's set up sort of in an old livery type of situation with a lot of stalls built in within a wooden structure where I think they used to keep horses. And it's just very different and worth taking a look at it. Last time I was there was maybe 3 years ago on a Saturday. And they had these kids selling lemonade, and they made homemade pizzas, and they bring it, and the money was going to some cause in Africa. I mean, it's just such a great grassroots effort. No matter where you go, there's always something unique about every farmer's market.
That's right. And especially, you know, there are a lot of farmer's markets, and that money that they do make, okay, goes back into the community. Like, for instance, we started a program, and it's also being started out in the Seacoast area as well, too, a gleaning program. Gleaning is when after the market, and there's lots of farmers there that may not want to bring back a lot of their greens that they've had left over at the market. So I walk around with a little cart, and I pick up all these greens and some vegetables and, you know, maybe a couple breads and whatever. And I bring that every week to the senior center here in Salem because it gives the seniors an opportunity to get some fresh vegetables. We also have brought it to the Rockingham County Community Action Group here on Stiles Road. We brought it to Wyndham Senior Center once. So we're trying to, you know, let people have the opportunity of seeing how great buying fresh local products are. I mean, not everybody will put that into their food budget. And I know sometimes it can be a little bit more money than going to a grocery store, but the quality, the longevity, and the nutritional values that you get when you shop at a farmer's market is so much more substantial than going into a food store and picking up lettuce that has traveled 1,500 miles to get there. And of course, I'm not looking to take any business away from Market Basket or Shaw's or any place, you know. But we have local farmers right here in New Hampshire that bought property, that farm their land, that, you know, that's their living. So why shouldn't we support them?
We should take a break. You can hang around for a few more minutes, Jane.
Thank you.
Jane is with the Salem Farmers Market as their volunteer market organizer and president of New Hampshire Farmers Market Association. So she knows the scoop, and we'll get more from her on Food for Thought with Carol and Mike next on WTPL The Pulse.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. That was Siri talking.
Oh, I wondered.
I hit my phone by accident, and Siri was talking to us.
What did she answer?
She said she wasn't sure what I was asking her. Oh. I'm like, oh, God. Mike is looking at you. Who did you think it was?
I didn't know where that was coming from. I'm hearing voices. Funny. I thought maybe it was my medical procedure yesterday, but that's a whole different...
We're not going to go there right
no,
now.
No, we're not.
Okay. But we're going to talk with Jane Lang.
Oh, yes. Jane Lang rejoins us here for a few more moments. She is the president of the New Hampshire Farmers Market Association and, of course, locally volunteer market organizer in Salem, the market that she put together just a few years ago. And we'll give you the information once again as we wrap up the interview about the special farm-to-table dinner, which is coming up at the Atkinson Country Club at the end of October. So, Jane, as you look back at the people that are in the state that are really just big proponents for farm and to table, Jeffrey Page is one that comes to mind. Are there other people in your mind that you think really have been pioneers or at least very important in the whole movement?
Well, I always say, which I forgot one thing, though. I meant to tell you, which is the biggest news, that we were voted on WMUR, Viewers' Choice Awards, third year in a row, number one farmers market in New Hampshire.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yes, I mean, people say I rig it, but I really don't. I mean, people really like it. they love it. They vote for us. So 3 years in a row, I am so honored. But I do have to say that Seacoast Eat Local really pushes my passion, okay? They are an extraordinary group of people out there in the seacoast, and that's where a majority of, you know, a lot of farms are. We do have some that are out in the west as well, up in Milford and that area. But I have to say that Seacoast Eat Local, they are an awesome food movement networking. I don't know, are you familiar with them?
No, but I know when we've spoken before, you have said that the Seacoast area is generally has been ahead of the curve on this, so I'm not surprised. And I have been to the Portsmouth Farmers Market, and it's one of the favorite ones that I've been to, so I'm sure they're probably the biggest in that little cluster of communities.
They are, but you know what? But they have, like, and then when the winter starts, okay, they're up in Rawlingsford at Wentworth Gardens up there, and they must draw in probably about 1,500 people. It's unbelievable. Wow. And, and I always say the people there, they get it. You know, they understand the, buying local, the purpose of buying local, you know, and supporting local farmers and producers. And I think now here in our area, you know, in Salem, Wyndham, you know, along this area through here, I think that the Salem Farmers Market has really, you know, brought that back into the community around here, that people are going, wow, this is really great. I mean, just to let you know, here at our Salem Town Hall, okay, they actually got their Cigna insurance company to pay for 10 shares of a CSA share. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. So a farm, actually it's Brookford Farm, they drop off 10 boxes of produce every week to the town hall, and that is distributed to all the departments, the police, the fire, the library, the DPW. So everybody in Salem that works for the town, and it's no cost to the taxpayers, I want to make sure that's very clear. It's through their wellness program in for their Cigna insurance. But they all now have that great advantage of enjoying local produce. I mean, it's just amazing.
If somebody, let's say, at home food artisan would like to be a part of a farmer's market, what's the first thing they should do to at least explore that possible relationship?
So the first most important thing is that they need to find out from the town that they live in whether they do accept, whether they have their own health department there, and whether they accept a kitchen, a commercial kitchen. I can tell you in Salem, they do not view an in-home kitchen as a commercial kitchen. It has to be done in a commercial kitchen, you know, a licensed commercial kitchen. But there are lots of towns that do allow the state to come in to your own home and your kitchen and certify it as a commercial kitchen so that you could get a food service license from the state and go out to any market that you want.
And a lot of people are taking advantage of Creative Chef's Kitchen in Derry, our friend Nalima.
Oh, yes, Nalima, very good friend of mine. I love her dearly. She's built this business. It's amazing. We have a lot of vendors that do use her kitchen.
Yeah, she's in, I think, about 22 different businesses now that are actually preparing their food. It's a beautiful facility. It's impeccably clean and passes, I suppose, every standard that most any farmer's market in the state would require, right?
Yep. I would be honored to take any one of her vendors that, you know, that uses her facility.
Before we let you go, Jane, can we go over the hours of the Salem Farmers Market?
Yeah, I know. We didn't even discuss that.
I know.
So let me just tell you. So we are open every Sunday, okay, every Sunday all year long, except for Easter Sunday. We are open Sundays 10 to 2. And from now till October 25th, we will be at 224 North Broadway, which is right on 28th. And then starting November 1st, our winter market will be through April at the Fisk School in their cafeteria every Sunday.
Perfect.
And that's right off of Exit 2, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, get off of Exit 2, and it's right there. It's like it's going to be easy access for anybody coming from Massachusetts or from anywhere in New Hampshire.
Farm-to-table dinner is Monday the 26th, Atkinson Country Club. How do they get tickets, Jane?
So they can go right on to our website and send an email. It's up on our Facebook. Just have them go. They can send an email out to info@salemnhfarmersmarket.org. And we'll be glad to get them all the information. And like I said, we should have the menu today. I'm hoping that the chef from Atkinson Country Club, they said they would have that ready today. And it's going to be a really delicious menu. There will be two good proteins with that and lots of sides. We will have a social time. I don't know. I think, Mike, you've gotten the cheese from our cheesemaker at our market.
Yes.
Benjamin,
fantastic.
And he is actually going to be supplying a lot of the cheeses.
Wonderful.
There at the beginning there. And so that'll be really good. And also, I want to make sure that I get both of your information, and I can send you guys out a note, too.
All right.
I would really love for both of you to be there.
I can connect with you on Facebook, so we'll do it that way.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
Jane,
and I
good
thank
talk.
You again.
Oh,
thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much for having me.
You bring good energy about a very important topic. She is the volunteer market organizer at Salem Farmers Market, Jane Lang. We'll talk soon and see you on the 26th.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we're at the top of the hour. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined with Donna's Delights from Delaware. We'll be right back.